Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Text 13, and we'll also read 14, and that this concludes Prahlad's response. Who has polluted you? Ye esha atma separatya bodhibhir. Duratya yano kramano narupyate. Boyanti advartmani veda vadino. Brahmadayo yesha binati me matihi matim. Sa esha atma separatya bodhibhir. Duratya yano kramano narupyate. Bhuyanti advartmani veda vadino. Brahmadayo yesha binati me matim. Saha he. Eshaha this. Atma. Supersoul situated in everyone's heart. Svapara, this is my own business. And that is someone else's. Iti, thus. Abodhihi, by those who have such bad intelligence. Dharatya, very difficult to follow. Anukramanaha, whose devotional service nirupyate is ascertained by scriptures or the injunctions of the spiritual master. Muyanti are bewildered. Yet of whom vartmani on the path veda vadinaha the followers of Vedic instructions, Brahma Adayaha, the demigods beginning from Lord Brahma, he indeed, Eshaha, this one, Bhinati, changes, me, my, Matim, intelligence. Translation, persons who always think in terms of, quote, enemy, and, quote, friend, are unable to ascertain the supersoul within themselves, not to speak of them, even such exalted persons as Lord Brahma, who are fully conversant with the Vedic literature, are sometimes bewildered in following the principles of devotional service. The same Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has created this situation, has certainly given me the intelligence to take the side of your so-called enemy. And Prabhupada's purport. Prahlad Maharaj admitted frankly, my dear teachers, you wrongly think that Lord Vishnu is your enemy, but because he is favorable towards me, I understand that he is the friend of everyone. You may think that I have taken the side of your enemy, but factually he has bestowed a great favor upon me. And the next text. Oh, brahmanas, teachers, as iron attracted by a magnetic stone, moves automatically towards the magnet, My consciousness, having been changed by his will, is attracted by Lord Vishnu, who carries a disc in his hand. Thus I have no independence. Purport, for iron to be attracted by a magnet is natural. Similarly, for all living entities to be attracted toward Krishna is natural, and therefore the Lord's real name is Krishna, meaning he who attracts everyone and everything. The typical examples of such attraction are found in Vrindavan, where everything and everyone is attracted by Krishna. The elderly persons like Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Devi, the friends like Sridham Sudham and other cowherd boys, the gopis like Srimati Radharani and her associates, and even the birds, beasts, cows, and calves are attracted. The flowers and fruits in the gardens are attracted. The waves of the Jamuna are attracted. And the land, sky, trees, plants, animals, and all other living beings are attracted by Krishna. This is the natural situation of everything in Vrindavan. Paragraph. Just to the contrary, to the affairs of Vrindavan is the material world, where no one is attracted by Krishna and everyone is attracted by Maya. This is the difference between the spiritual and material worlds. Hiranyakashipu, who was in the material world, was attracted by women and money, whereas Prahlad Maharaj, being in his natural position, was attracted by Krishna. In replying to Hiranyakashipu's question about why Prahlad Maharaj had a deviant view, Prahlad said that his view was not deviant. For the natural position of everyone is to be attracted by Krishna. And Hiranyakashipu found this view deviant, Prahlad said, because of being unnaturally unattracted by Krishna. Hiranyakashipu, therefore, needed purification. Paragraph. As soon as one is purified of material contamination, he is again attracted by Krishna. Sarvapadi Vinir Muktam Tatparatvena Niralam. In the material world, everyone is contaminated by the dirt of sense gratification and is acting according to different designations. Sometimes as a human being, sometimes as a beast, sometimes a demigod or tree, and so on. One may be cleansed of all these designations. Then one will be naturally attracted to Krishna. The bhakti process purifies living entity of all unnatural attractions. When one is purified, he is attracted by Krishna and he begins to serve Krishna instead of serving Maya. This is his natural position. A devotee is attracted by Krishna, whereas a non-devotee, being contaminated by the dirt of material enjoyment, is not. This is confirmed by the Lord in Bhagavad Gita. 7:28. Yesham tvantagatam papam ye jananam punyakarmanam te tvanvamoha nirmukta bhajante mam vridhavrataha. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, whose sinful actions are completely eradicated and who are freed from duality of delusion, engage themselves in my service with determination. Conclusion. One must be freed from all the sinful dirt of material existence. Everyone in this material world is contaminated by material desire, unless one is freed from all material desire. And yet, anyabhilashita shunyam, one cannot be attracted by Krishna. So the two, as you can see very clearly how Prabhupada is ending this purport, it's elucidating the previous verse also. As long as one is seeing friends, enemies, then one will not see the super soul. And then the converse. One who is in that position of seeing super soul does not see friends and enemies. And then there's us. We're mixed at least. So Hiranyakashipu is not so mixed. He's pretty one-sided. And Shanda and Amarka, like Hiranyakashipu, seeing friends and enemies. This reminds me, this exposition here, it's an expansion of exactly what Vyas saw in his trance. He saw the living entities who were bewildered. Yayas mohito jiva atmanam trigunatmakam paropi manute anartam. The misfortune of the living entity is described succinctly in that verse, Canto 1, Chapter 7, Text Number 5, the bewildered condition of the living entity, and then also the remedial measure. Anarto pashamam saksat bhakti yogam madhoksaje. The essence of that bhakti yoga process is to always remember Krishna. But that always remembering Krishna, or even the practice of chanting and having one's attention remain attracted to the all-attractive, should be pretty easy, attracted to the all-attractive. Why that which is all attractive isn't attractive? Because the all attractive is being obscured. Or in Sarvabhaumata's translation, it's obfuscated. That's like a 50-cent word. Like clouds block the sun. Or obfuscate the sun. So the sun is there, but we can't see the sun, because the clouds are in the way. Krishna is there, but we can't see Krishna because the anartas are in the way. And the anartas are they're produced from something. This friends and enemy cloud is produced from something. What's produced from the bodily conception of life, which, you know, goes back to what was the best thing that you've learned. Well, people that are in the bodily conception of life are attached to their material affairs. Griha kshetra sutapta vittai. And because of being attached to material affairs, the Supreme Lord, Super Soul, is not seen. And when Super, so back, that's, the consequence of that is we're see friends and enemies. It's not really, one could go into the spin of, you know, which comes first, the chicken or the egg? What's the cause and what's the effect? Well, simply put, the cause is living entity, according to Jiva Goswami, living entity turning away from Krishna. Bahir Mukhajiv. And the living entity turning away from Krishna, then there's Maya. That's the backup. Prabhupada may put it very simply. You're looking at the sun, and all you see is light. You turn your back to the sun, and all you see is shadow, and there's not a third thing. Really simple. So just see shadow, turn through the sun, then you see light. But even in the presence of the personality of Godhead, Hiranyakashipu couldn't see the personality of Godhead, or Shishupal couldn't see the personality of Godhead, although they saw Krishna. They saw something else, according to their disposition. Something Shishupal saw, something hated. Ranikashipu saw another powerful entity like me, but I'm the most powerful, so I'll surely defeat him. The divine and demoniac chapter in Bhagavad Gita indicates I'm perfect, powerful, and happy, and I've controlled so many others, I've removed so many enemies, and some remain, and I'll remove them too, and you know, I'm on my way to Godhood. Exactly, if you recall, exactly what the demigods had reported to Lord Brahma was the case with Hiranyakashipu. Previous chapter. Hiranyakashipu, they reported, wanted to reverse the order of things. You know, there's a natural order of things. The demigods are to maintain the natural order of things. And Hiranyakashipu wanted to reverse that. You know, from forward into reverse. From this way into that way. So the natural order of things is everything is under the direction of the Supreme Lord, and the reverse is everything is under my direction. And because I can get power to do that by austerities. Of course, then the benediction from Lord Brahma for the austerities indicates who's more powerful. Not so rational. So if you recall from yesterday, this yeah, the Pashu Buddhi phrase. Persons that are animals or persons with animal intelligence see us and them. The territorial thing. Like dogs and their little territory. They're notorious for that, and they're pretty consistent. I remember one little Vrindavan story. On every Ekadasi, it's a practice, very traditional practice, that Vaishnavas, ISKCON, and other than ISKCON Vaishnavas, will do a circumambulation around Vrindavan town on Ekadasi day. So while residing in Vrindavan during the Kartik month teaching at the VIHE, many of the devotees and teachers would go together on Ekadasi morning, right after Mangal Arati, meet at the gate and start walking around the Parikrama Mark. So at least during that time, there was a dog that would sit, you know, sit down and, you know, back straight, you know, being respectful to the devotees, and just, you know, right after Mangal Arati, they'd walk out the gate and he'd accompany the devotees going with them. Every Ekadasi. I wasn't there for every Ekadasi, but those that live there say every Ekadasi he's there. Like really regulated guy. And as we were walking around the Parikrama Mark, there's a certain place past Keshi Ghat where there's this kind of like, at least at that time, an old abandoned building, and that was like a hangout for a certain set of dogs. And so the dog that was with us, he was, you know, he knew where that those certain set of dogs were, because we were a large group. We came by, and, you know, three or four dogs came bounding out, you know, woof, 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 woof. This is our territory, Pashubuti, friend and enemy. And so this dog that was accompanying us, you know, showed his teeth and growled and looked at them, and, you know, the hair standing up in the back of his neck, and he was escorting us past those dogs so we wouldn't know the devotees would be harmed. And as soon as we passed, then, you know, he's wagging his tail and come right up to the front again. The protector of the devotees. And then when we finished parikrama, he, you know, politely didn't go into the gate with all the devotees like dogs might do. He just stayed at the gate, sat down, and, you know, job finished. But, you know, association with devotees, it reminded me of Jed Barrett becoming a deer. Who knows who that dog was in his previous life? But he definitely wanted the association of devotees on Ekadasi Day, doing parikrama mark. Anyway, little story. So along with this Pashubuti of seeing friends and enemies, that the in parentheses is Prabhupada's presentation, I am the supreme and everyone is God. So striving while being territorial or being friends and enemies is, Rabindra Sarup Prabhu calls it, one has a God project in whatever one's particular version or style or flavor of God project is. Within this world, each person has theirs. It's just what life in the material world does. You have your own little kingdom, whatever that little kingdom might be, however meek and humble or so-called renounced. And the renunciate person whose interest is to become God is, I own nothing and I am everything, or something. It's God project. And it's part of the covering, is the point I wanted to make. Whether it's the materialist or the so-called spiritualist, in either case, minus devotion, it's a God project. It's a covering of the super soul. That's what this morning's verse is saying. Sa esha atma, atma, super soul in everyone's heart. Sva para, seeing this is mine and that's, you know, yours, and I want to make what's yours mine. Envy and acquisition and control and God project. So anyone that has that mentality, it stems from the bodily conception, which stems from adversity to the supreme. But when then Maya covers, and one can't see the supreme. So that's how this morning's verse begins. Then he goes on, even up to Muyanti, very similar to the first verse of the Bhagavatam, Muyanti Yatsurayaha, even the demigods become bewildered. So it's saying the same thing here. Muyanti Yad Vartmani, Vartman means path. Yad Vartmani, the path of what? The path of the supreme, or those who follow this path of Veda, Vada. You know that phrase is in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Veda Vada Rata. Prabhupada calls it the so-called followers of the Vedas. Veda Vada. They know the Vedas and they follow the path of the Vedas, and even up to the demigods such as Lord Brahma, etc. Brahma, Adya, beginning with Brahma and others, they become bewildered. Even they have the path of the Vedas. Now, we should be very careful. You know, we're speaking about the original preceptor of our sampradaya. So be very careful. Tread lightly when it comes to that. I was on a morning walk with Srila Prabhupada one time, and somebody was asking this probing. I mean, it wasn't haughty, but it was, they were probing, how is it that Brahma, he's the preceptor of our sampradaya, that he can become bewildered and become attracted to his own daughter and, you know, things like that. And Prabhupada was like fire. He is pure enough. See, that question stopped right there. So we should similarly tread lightly when we speak about the original preceptor of our sampradaya, as Prahlad is speaking about the original. So we're not going to poo-poo Prahlad. But the Bhagavatam is teaching us in the first verse and then in this one, there are times when even such persons, very elevated persons, the demigods, may become bewildered, or here, are sometimes bewildered in following the principles of devotional service. Now, Prahlad is saying, while that's the case, I've received great fortune. No, Brahma says that same in his prayers to Krishna in 14th chapter of the 10th canto, which we'll be discussing during the festival of the Holy Name, beautiful prayers. He, Brahma, was the recipient of this amazing, what did Krishna show Brahma? Wow. Beyond his imagination, Krishna showed Brahma not only the majesty of his opulence, but then the intimacy of love within the residence of Vrindavan. He showed all that in a short moment, a short lapse of time. He was feeling amazing mercy from Krishna. And Prahlad is saying similarly, amazing mercy. What's that amazing mercy? How does it manifest itself? To give one the proper intelligence to understand Krishna, which is quoted in the purport, Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam. Krishna's, as Super Soul, he gives, we heard yesterday, he directs differently. He's kind. He's always kind. He's affectionate. He's all attractive. He's very consistent. At the same time, according to the disposition of the living entity, he reciprocates. One, he'll show himself. Another, he'll show Maya. And the person who looks at Maya, they think that's it. There's nothing more. Exactly as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, even the purpose of the Vedas. There's nothing more than enjoying in this life and heavenly enjoyment after this life. There's nothing more. Or become one with the Supreme and merge with Brahman. There's nothing more. That's the topmost. And Krishna gives the faith for that. And Krishna can remove that covering if Krishna wants, as Krishna did, or Lord Vishnu did in the case of Vyas. Vishnu removed that Maya and displayed that Maya was under his full control behind him, that in that way that he could see the Supreme Lord and all the other things that he saw. So that's mercy. Prahlad is saying, I've received that mercy. And because I've received that mercy, he's given me the intelligence not only to see him, but to see beyond the duality of friend and enemy that you guys have. So now like it's not na 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 na. I'm up here and you're down there. He's not like that. He's just stating the picture as he sees it. And as Prabhupada is saying, you know, Hiranyakashipu needs purification. So Prahlad can certainly see, same, and Sanda and Amaraka need purification, and so he's giving purification through sound vibration. Because they've asked him a question, he's giving a transcendental answer. So he's been favored by the Supreme Lord, thus he can see the Supreme Lord and his position, and does not see friend and enemy. Now again, the chicken and the egg question, meaning which comes first, no longer seeing duality, and then you can see Krishna, or see Krishna and then you no longer see duality. Well, you know, receive favor and they both happen. The receive favor is the bhakti process that gets delivered through representatives of the Supreme Lord that give the bhakti process, and receiving it with careful cultivation and so forth, then, you know, that mercy potency or potential expands, and one can come to the position where, exactly as is being said here, having been changed by his will, that is, you know, these coverings, the Maya covering becomes dismissed. The tendency to see friend and enemy becomes dismissed. The tendency to be impersonal in varieties of manifestations of being impersonal becomes dismissed by the mercy of the Supreme Lord and the all-attractiveness of the Supreme Lord, epitomized in the residence of Vrindavan, which we'd like to be the followers of, the residence of Vrindavan, by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu being introduced to that realm, that type of love, as the Bhagavatam wants to take us there too. So I'll just read again this little, you know, the chicken, the egg question and how Prabhupada deals with it. As soon as one is purified of material contamination, he is again attracted by Krishna. So is it, as we become attracted by Krishna, then the material contamination diminishes? Or is it, as material contamination diminishes, we become attracted to Krishna? Which is it? Which is the cause and which is the effect? And just repeating the same question, and it's our effort and descending mercy, and the effort is the stimulation of a desire to serve Krishna and to be in a relationship of service, of loving service with Krishna and Krishna's mercy. And that awakening of that attraction is the seed of bhakti that we receive from very kind Vaishnavas, and in the association of Vaishnavas, kindle it or awaken, develop further, mature that seed through the hearing and chanting processes that we're engaged in, primarily those, and then others, worship and prayer and so forth. But it starts with the hearing and chanting process, the cleansing process. So Prahlad is helping Sanda Namaraka and Hiranyakashipu and company, and his classmates, in the hearing and chanting process. That's what he does. He's a compassionate Vaishnava. As a result of that, at least the opportunity is there through that sound vibration to cleanse, to purify, and then see what one otherwise can't see. So, of course, Sanda and Amarka say no. Our better response is to say yes, and then participate in the cleansing process. That's the means of purification. Arto Parshamam Sakshat Bhakti Yogam Adhoksa Jay. He was beyond the senses. Use your senses in his service. The master of the senses, who is beyond the senses. So he's the transcendental Lord, and use even these present instruments in serving the transcendental Lord with a mood of devotion, of love and service, of offering unto him. It takes faith, takes association, it takes mercy, it takes some effort, sustained effort. That's what we're being invited into. And Prahlad is a wonderful example to look to of perfected being very kindly extending himself to the opposite end of the spectrum. So next comes how they recoil hearing these words of Prahlad, and they go report it to Hiranyakashipu. This boy, he's impossible. To be continued. Any discussion? Yes?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Yeah.
Your example of the dog story made me think that, I mean, the dog was, in that instance, protecting the devotees and holding back
yes.
those who intended to harm the devotees.
Yes.
So I was just thinking, in one sense, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's like the devotees are friends, and those who intend to harm the devotees or succeed in harming the devotees are enemies. Is that a wrong way of, I mean, is it wrong to see people like that? Because they're impeding our Krishna consciousness or practice.
Well, it depends on how you see that. How you see that depends on the level of consciousness that one is in. You know, I'm thinking of Maharaj Ambarish, thinking of Prahlad. He wasn't seeing friends enemies, although, you know, they were attacking him and trying to kill him. And now, is it justified at that point to think friends and enemies? Now, let's go to Bhagavad Gita and Krishna's inducing Arjuna to fight. And fight, he's not inducing him, their enemies specifically, but they're violators of Dharma. And it's the duty of a Kshatriya to give protection to those who are abiders by Dharma and who will be violated by adharmic forces. So, ask your question in that context. Are the Kauravas or Duryodhana and his Dushasana and those fellows, are they to be seen as enemies? Well, at least they can be seen as violators of Dharma, and they're to be dealt with. They can be dealt with this way, that way, the other way. But they are to be dealt with. Not exactly necessarily as our enemies, but violators of Dharma. And dutifully, at least for a Kshatriya, to address violators of Dharma. That's their duty. So, specific to the situation, the dogs that stayed in that abandoned building area and went out barking, they're dogs. However, dogs can be harmful. I know somebody that was bitten by a dog in Vrindavan, and they got rabies. So, are they enemies? Well, at least they're to be protected against. And envisioned was it was almost like a human behavior, or using the territorial nature of a dog to protect the territory of the devotees. There was devotional service, and it didn't seem like he was wanting to finish those guys. He just wanted to protect the devotees, and then once the devotees were protected, he came running, because he stayed behind. And then when the devotees went ahead, you know, he's just running up to the front again, you know, wagging his tail, just happy to be in service with the association devotees, serving the devotees. So it's not exactly, trying to focus on your question. Is this a proper way of seeing friends' enemies? I don't know if that's appropriate. Anybody else have some comments on this? Just on this particular question, friends, enemies?
Yeah. I was thinking maybe softer language could be used, favorable and unfavorable.
Since that's the moral compass of a surrendered devotee, accepting that which is favorable and unfavorable. And I thought your duty point was right on point. It's our duty to protest those who deny Vishnu.
Yeah, that's a duty, but that wasn't his question. Like Krishna in that chapter, Divine and Demoniac. If we're going to see as Krishna sees, we can see through the eyes of Bhagavad Gita, or through the eyes of scripture, Shastra Chakshus. So how does Krishna see? He sees there's divine, there's demoniac. How does Super Soul see? Hiranyakashipu is like this, Prahlad is like that. As Super Soul, I'll give intelligence to Prahlad like this, I'll give intelligence to Hiranyakashipu like that. So, Super Soul is not seeing friends and enemies. Well, that's a nice way to put it. Unfavorable and favorable. It's similar, Prabhupada makes this similar remark in Ishopanishad. Everyone, this is how the Uttama Adhikari sees, or the Uttama Bhagavata sees. Everyone's engaged in Krishna service. Some not favorably. Some favorably. And those that are doing not favorably, you interact with them this way. And those that are favorably, you interact with them that way. You know, that's on the topmost platform, and we're not on the topmost platform. Well, there was someone else before you. Yeah.
I can see in that same context the distinction of an enemy, even while in transcendental, like not seeing anyone as your enemy, but to not see anyone as one's friend, it seems a little bit harder for me to understand. So how would you compare like the material conception of a friend?
How do you compare?
How would you compare like the material conception of a friend?
Material conception of friends.
In like a spiritual conception of a friend.
In the spiritual conception of friends.
Is it that, because it seems like to not have any friends and enemies is kind of just like callous.
It seems like what? There's like, noise in the background, I'm sorry.
It seems like to view no one as your friend or enemy seems like it gives me the picture of someone who's like very callous. They're just kind of neutral in all regards. But, we're supposed to have friendly relations with devotees.
Yes. We touched on this yesterday. But glad to discuss it again. We're not to see friends and enemies doesn't mean as seeing enemies is bad, seeing friends is bad, so have no friends. Be ice cold, no friends, Bhav. That's not the advocacy. The advocacy is in the material side. So you're just addressing, you're getting to your question, not on the material side. Groupism. This is my friend and that's my enemy. Now, what's the spiritual conception of friendship? We're together. This is one way to describe it. Together. We are trying to help one another, assist one another in reminding one another about our natural position of service to Krishna and seeing the strength of some individual, let me support that strength. Seeing the shortcoming of another individual, let me help that other individual that has a shortcoming or tendency for weakness or something in a friendly way and, you know, help being a support person to help them overcome that shortcoming and get closer to Krishna. And so that's a behavior. And then there's feelings, feelings of kinship or friendship, or, you know, we're going to Krishna together, camaraderie kind of friendship. So Krishna's at the center. And there's feelings of affection for one another. Interestingly, the nature, just take the classic of the nature of a brahmachari ashram. There's so many people, my experience has been, I imagine it's no different here, that living in a brahmachari ashram, the persons with whom you're living are persons in material life that you never would have thought of having anything to do with. Just like, what? And now here you are living as friends together in the brahmachari ashram, developing spiritual friendships. Very interesting. So it just elevates the whole idea, the whole conception and experience and interaction of friendship to some other level beyond the material consideration level. It's, you know, how to help all those other things that I said before. Then that's spiritual friendship, which isn't the friends and enemy platform spoken of before. We can have our camaraderie amongst our friends without then, in consequence, seeing them, the us and them. Rather, you know, there's the bigger us, and then there's us, the group that dissociate regularly together, and then there's the rest of us. You know, the congregation members, or the public at large, or different communities of people that have different cultural, linguistic, and, you know, socioeconomic, you know, positions, and this part of us too. Let us extend Krishna's message and Krishna's holy name to those. And then there's, spiritual friendship that's genuine breaks down the barriers of us and them, or that kind of thing, friends, enemies. There are certainly going to be those, we mentioned this yesterday, there are those that we feel more affinity towards, we associate with more confidentially, with greater openness and greater confiding, confidential things and feelings and so on. And not necessarily, you know, homogenized, no distinction about who we feel greater affinity towards. You know, take our Raghunath Das Goswami and how much affection he had for Rupa Goswami, for example, or Krishna Das Kaviraj and the affection that he had for Rupa Raghunath. So it's special. It's within spiritual friendships, it's perfectly okay. It's perfectly natural. It, even amongst perfected souls, there are some persons with whom we feel greater affinity. Natural. At the same time, that affinity doesn't create in us and them spirit, friend, enemy, different. More?
This, what you said kind of gave me this understanding that we're not necessarily making friends or enemies with, the actual person behind it, but it's more
so... No, there's a person behind it.
No, that, I understand that, but it's not the person that's the enemy, it's their qualities that are unfavorable for
okay.
Krishna. That's the enemy, right? And the qualities favorable for Krishna, that... Because you could say that everyone, like in a sense, without the conditionings, you could kind of say
can I do some
that.
Editing?
I'm sorry?
Can I do some editing in what you just said?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. a Christian conception, I'm sure you're familiar with, is one may hate the sin but not the sinner. So you make a distinction between the behavior and the person. If that's what you're saying, fine. But even if someone is a sinner, one may not consider this the sin of the sinner how to say this properly. While the sin may be abominable, the behavior may be abominable, to not have regard towards the individual as an enemy. An example comes to mind. It was really amazing. I think it was last summer. There was an attack by somebody on an Amish community, and they killed one of the daughters, or maybe it was two. Some really awful behavior. In the Amish community, they're tight. And what they did was they got together and started praying for the person who committed the murder. It was amazing. Who does that? I mean, it's similar to what Prabhupada is writing in the purport. If someone kills a relative, naturally there's ill will towards the person who killed the relative. And now here's Prahlad, who's aligning himself with the person who killed a relative. Where did this mentality come from? So this is the opposite. Where, so it's not, it's another position. It's beyond, or it's another, how do I say this properly? It's another category besides making a distinction between the soul and the ill behavior of the soul, not condemning the soul, but having, you know, wishing well upon the bad soul, or the soul that did this bad activity. But not an enemy. That's a high position. It's a devotional position. It's a faith in God position. Is that? Okay. Yes, and then you're next. Yeah. Go ahead.
Maharaj, I have two questions actually. In the purport, in Bhagavad Gita shloka is referred, 7.28, where the meaning goes that only those people who are completely eradicated and who are freed from the duality of delusion engage in the devotional service. So how should I understand that if I see myself, I don't think that I fit to this situation, I am still suffering with dualities at times, I am still suffering with past karma, so how should I see that though I am able to engage sometime or the other, how should I understand it? This is the first question.
I understand the question. Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
What is the meaning of dridhavrata?
Dridhavrata?
Dridhavrata. It's at the end of the verse. Vajante mam. There's a qualifying term, an adjective, describing what kind of vajante.
Mm-hmm.
Dridhavrata, great determination. Does that answer your question? You're engaged in, you know, someone, you or anyone else that's not meet all those qualifiers will not have dridhavrata.
Okay.
Ah. Anishtita bhakti. Sometimes not. Not dridhavrata.
So, what is my question is, I am not eradicated from the dualities, but what you are saying is, we are with determination, we are trying to...
You're in the sadhana stage. You're in the sadhana bhakti stage. You're not at the dridhavrata stage yet.
Ah, okay. Okay, Maharaj. And the second question which I have is, in the purport of there, Prahlad Maharaj answers that you are seeing Lord Vishnu as an enemy. Okay, he is telling to those people. Is there any specific reason? Sorry. He is saying Lord Vishnu. He could have referred Lord Krishna also.
Yes.
Any specific reason for that?
Yes. I mean, it was Lord Varaha who killed Hiranyaksha, who was the enemy. So you could say that one too. Lord Varaha, Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna, Rishikesh, Adhoksaja, Hari. It's a long list. He's the enemy. Is that alright?
Yes, Maharaj. Thank you.
Okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for your class. This topic kind of reminds me of a statement of Bhaktisiddhanta. I really appreciate it, only in theory, but the application is difficult. And the Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav, I think the chapter entitled Revolutionary Preacher of Truth, he says, when Bhagavan is merciful to me, he will send countless persons to speak sour words to me just to teach me tolerance. So my question is related to this point and the point that you made that Prahlad Maharaj, because he received the mercy of the Lord, he was able to see beyond friends and enemies. So when we're, you know, studying the scriptures, there's so many similes and analogies and metaphors to teach us how to, you know, tolerate or forgive. But unless Krishna gives us his mercy, then, you know, it's kind of impossible. So my question is, what are some things we can keep in mind on a daily basis so that prevent us from drowning in the ocean of offenses? Because the tendency is that
drowning in the ocean of the senses?
Offenses. Because the tendency is to gossip about someone or say, don't talk to them. If they say something to us wrong or do something to us, the tendency is to go tell other people, you know, don't talk to them, they're not a devotee. How to prevent oneself from, you know, because then you'll go away eventually in Krishna consciousness. What are some things to keep in mind?
Well, your question specifically is what can we keep in mind? But I would, if you hadn't asked it that way, I would respond, you know, how would we handle the situation like that? Follow Krishna's advice, knowing, for example, one, knowing that the tendency of the mind is to identify with the external circumstances of duality, because sometimes this, sometimes that. We're in the world of duality, and you tolerate, and instead withdraw from the duality and engage in transcendental, in sat. Engage in the purification of hearing and chanting and remembering and praying and worship. Take shelter of the devotional, the process, the bhakti process. You tolerate the irritation and invest in transcendence, the method of transcendence that's given to us, with faith, and faith in Krishna, and faith in the process of connecting with Krishna. Making sincere efforts to follow the instruction. Like, for example, to tolerate and follow the instruction. Or, you know, go down a bit and say, you know, remember the, you know, moral principles. Like, to err is human, to forgive is divine, and, you know, be moral. Be in the mode of goodness. Be tolerant. You know, cultivate the mode of goodness. You know, the purpose of that is to facilitate transcendence. So don't forget the transcendence while you're practicing morality. And the ultimate issue, yes, we're dependent upon the dispensation of mercy to be able to overcome pushings of a lower nature. So look to the mercy giver, Krishna, and the representatives of Krishna, and go take shelter of representatives of Krishna that are by nature merciful and will extend Krishna's mercy through their words and their association. Keep in that atmosphere the association of merciful devotees. Okay. And there, thank you very much. Prabhupada ki jai.